God's word to us this evening. Father God, thank you so much for Mike. Thank you for his preparation for tonight and the way that you have already spoken to him as he prepares to bring your word to us now. We pray, Father God, abundantly that you will fill him with your spirit and that he will take us to a place that encounters Jesus in this place tonight. That he would bring your word alive to us that brings about change in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for him. And we pray now that you would use him as your vessel to help us to understand your word tonight. Amen.
Good evening, everybody. Alan, would you like to come and bring God's word?
Our reading tonight is coming from Matthew chapter 6, and we're taking up the story at verse 16. No, sorry, 25 it is. Do not worry. Right. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen.
Now, I'm going to start by doing something that I always forget to do, and that is to say who I am. So my name is Michael Collins, and I'm a member here at RBC. Phew, got that one out of the way. I won't worry. So tonight, we are continuing this series of the hard sayings of Jesus Christ. And interestingly, in the preaching rota for this term, Scott had put it down to be preached twice. Both times by myself. So either Scott was trying to trick me, or he had something to say to me. Yeah. But yeah, tonight's command is no exception about the hard sayings of Jesus Christ, and that is, do not worry. I must admit, in my preparations for this evening, I had actually been quite generally worried about how this preach was going to go. And that was mainly due to last weekend when I was away with Urban Expressions looking at new church, and I've got to be honest, I was really challenged about my theology and what I believe church to be. I'm still trying to understand what that looks like, and I've been in a place of vulnerability. But thankfully, someone in my life group gave me a verse, and that worry was quickly vanished. So thank you, life group member. Now, the verse that Alan read from Matthew's Gospel is taken from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is publicly outlining and teaching his disciples the kingdom values that God wants for our lives. Lives of faith that are pleasing to God in our thoughts, our actions, and our words. Being able to reflect his love within us and with each other. Jesus' words were so radically opposite to the rules of the day that it completely turned the heads of those in charge. People who heard this for the first time must have been mesmerized about how different these teachings are. Jesus Christ wants us to put our faith and our trust in him alone. The Holy Spirit will renew us and help us to understand these hard sayings of Jesus. As children of God, his kingdom values can lead us towards a real living relationship with our Father, to strive for that moral standard that God wants for our lives. Now, in this 21st century society, I believe Jesus' words of "do not worry" are just as powerful, if not more revolutionary than ever. It seems commonplace that our lives can be filled with constant worries in this world. We are bombarded from all angles with worries about our houses, our possessions, our health, our children, our bodies, our careers. The list of worries is endless. And to combat this, it's now so easy to seek the doctor and have some medicine prescribed in an attempt to block out that worry from our lives in an instant. But here in this passage, we find a man telling us, "Do not worry about your life." A quite trivial statement at first glance, because I'm sure many of us here come across people that say to us, "Don't worry about it. It may never happen." Or, "Don't worry, I'll sort it out for you." But what I believe marks the first statement out from anything else that's been said about worry is that it was said by Jesus Christ. In R.T. Kendall's Sermon on the Mount commentary, he makes a powerful comment. He says this: "Jesus never forgot what it's like to be tried at this level." How great is it to know that our Saviour, who is all sovereign, also knows exactly what it's like to feel those emotional states of worry. Jesus' statement, "Do not worry," is not from some high power standing on a high pedestal giving us orders. Jesus, who was God, also came down as a man and experienced the same issues we do. He would have definitely, without doubt, experienced worry. In Hebrews 4:15, it tells us this: "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." This gives us real hope as sinners that we have the capacity to say in the face of worry, "No more." Because Jesus did experience the same earthly troubles and he gave his life up for us. We ourselves can now present our worries to God directly. Jesus says, do not worry, because he doesn't want his followers to be chained to an emotional state that has no control over our lives. Worrying is an unnecessary. It adds to the problem and only ever makes things more worse than it actually is. Now, our first reaction to Jesus' statement may be one of, yeah, sure, don't worry. I know what you're saying, but I'm not sure I can do it. I just have to worry. Well, we need to remind ourselves that whether we choose to worry consciously or subconsciously, we are choosing to not trust God. Worrying and trust are opposites, I believe. And when we worry, we are saying that we don't think God is in control. I appreciate that there are issues in our lives that we can't help but just worry. This morning we woke up and we came to find out that all the electrics had gone in our kitchen, which included the boiler. So we have no hot water and we have no heating. Which is quite a worry, because it is now winter and it is cold. And Heather's, I'm cold, I'm cold. And what makes it more difficult is that I'm going away this week, so Heather is now left to her own devices with Freya. So, yeah. But there are stuff that make us instantly and naturally worry, don't they? We just can't help it but worry. But if worrying is so complex to grasp, if we can't stop ourselves from worrying, how can we do anything else but worry? How do we stop worrying? How do we come to a place where we can say, I don't want to worry anymore? How can we do anything about that worry? I believe this passage gives us a great starting point. It says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Jesus wants us in every aspect of our lives to seek him first. Do we do that? Do we seek his kingdom first? Only through Jesus and starting to put his kingdom first has, for myself, worrying start to disappear. I start to acknowledge that worry is not worth the attention or any time that it so easily takes away from us. To seek his kingdom first is a statement to say to God, I'm in trouble here, but I fully am aware that only in you will it be dealt with, and you, Lord, will see me through. I truly believe that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, the closer we get to God, the less serious we are with ourselves and this world, including its worries. Whatever we choose to do and however we choose to live, God wants to be the central pillar in every moment. The world wants to promote and play upon these worries, but I believe God's aim is to free us from those worries. So tonight I put that question to you. How do you deal or cope with your worries? Let's be honest with ourselves here. Do we give them to God? Or do we hang on to them? Heather and I recently had a conversation with an elderly gentleman. And it was on this very issue of worry. And you could tell by this gentleman's voice that he was just stricken by the worries of life, and in particular for his wife. And it really didn't matter what me and Heather said to him, but he was adamant there was no real answer. And in any shape or form, was it ever easy not to worry? And to an extent, yeah, he's right, it is difficult. But as we discussed that conversation afterwards, my wife made a quite profound point. And believe me, she does make some profound points. We have a choice about how to deal with worry. Irrespective of how hard it may seem, we either give those worries to God, but we continue to worry. We take it back. Or we simply leave it at the foot of the cross. We leave those worries there and we don't look back. And I believe that we don't just do that once. We can continually, over and over again, leave those worries at the foot of the cross. Now, as a delivery driver, I come across all sorts of worriers. You will not believe the things that people tell me that they worry about. I genuinely get people, rich people, who are worried about how quickly their £1.89 refund will go into their bank account. I have people who are genuinely worried about how long their strawberries will last for. I get people who are genuinely worried if the cereal box has a slight rip, will it be okay? And there's one customer that, yeah, he just comes to mind. And I call him the coconut man. Now, this particular moment, I delivered the shopping to his house and he had some subs. And unfortunately, we did not have the brand of coconut water that he wanted. So he got a different brand. When I told him this, his face dropped. I mean, I've never seen someone so stricken with worry in that moment. At that point, he nearly said a few very choice words over coconut water. He said some things to me. He said, "This is ridiculous. I'm sending it back, but I'm going to be left with nothing. What am I going to do? It's my wife's drink, and she's not here. What am I going to do? It's not as nice as the Innocent brand because the water is purer." I was starstruck. But I believe that when Jesus says, "Do not worry," that is the exact situation he's talking into. You know, I had sorrow for a man that was really stricken by something quite trivial. And I really believe that's what Jesus was talking into. Now, Jesus himself came across a quite similar situation. We find in the end of Luke 10, Jesus and his disciples are on the travels, and they come across two sisters, Martha and Mary, who had opened their home to them. Martha was busy with all the preparations for the guests, and the Bible states that Martha was moaning about her sister Mary because she had chosen to sit at the Lord's feet and listen and not help Martha. Jesus has responded to Martha, "You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one." Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This gives us a clear indication of Jesus' stance on worry, because here in Matthew 6, we are told by Jesus, do not worry about food or drink or clothing. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Society has snatched our attention away from enjoying the fullness of God's desires and plans for our lives. Instead, because we put such high value into medial aspects in life, such as food and clothing, we start to worry about what's the right diet. We start counting our calories. We worry about keeping up with fashions. We make sure we have the right brands. We do that, don't we? By worrying about food and clothing, we lose sight of the pursuit of a relationship with God. We inadvertently act as if God doesn't know or God doesn't care through worry, when actually he knows exactly what we need. We need to be careful that we don't end up like Martha, who has that misplaced worry, when actually we should be like Mary, concentrating on our God-centered lives and ensuring we seek his kingdom first. Now, as we know, Jesus loved to tell his followers his message in powerful stories, and he's painted these two wonderful pictures here in our minds. Firstly, he challenges us by the birds in the sky. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, the first thing that jumps to me here is that we are children of God. We are valued so much more than birds. Sorry to the bird lovers, but yeah. We have that special gift of being able to honor our Father. We can have a relationship with God like none other. And I want to confidently say that no father in any situation we find ourselves in would ever let our children go hungry. Am I right? Good, Andy, thank you. If God the Father meets all his children and animals' needs alike, how then do the birds carry on feeding without worry and are fed each day without growing or storing? Yet for us, we have that ability to grow, to store, to reap. But we still worry about food, don't we? We still worry. Do we not believe that God will feed us every day? Like the birds? Not worrying? I know for myself that I usually text Heather and say, what's for dinner tonight? And actually, I look at myself and I think, I'm more concerned about what I'm eating than my spiritual life, about reading the Bible. And I don't think that's a good place to be in. Does not the Bible tell us that the Word is the bread of life? Scott this morning told us that God lays out a banquet for us, where we can be spiritually fed as much as we need. What's more important to God's plan for us? Living a life that is fruitful, a life that glorifies God? Or do we worry constantly about the food we eat, trying to extend our lifespan? worrying about what the world tells us about food. Jesus then challenges us about the clothes, by the flowers that grow. See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Now I must confess, I'm not much of a green-fingered gardener, but why on earth are flowers so expensive? And why do women have to have them so much? I appreciate that flowers are beautiful, but they're so much more beautiful when they're reduced. Am I not true? God created some spectacular flowers. And they themselves did absolutely nothing to be that way. We were also created in that fullness and perfect and beautiful image of God. And I believe there's real power in the natural beauty of how we look. But in society, people are constantly worrying, aren't they, about how they look. I mean, the amount of people who have fillers and facelifts and all sorts, they put their image at the top of their priorities, don't they? Celebrities are a great example. I mean, they constantly worry about fashion. It is just unreal. But all they do is consume themselves in a fruitless longing fueled by worry. No expensive pair of jeans or a colourful t-shirt or a sparkly dress is ever going to make us more beautiful than we are already. I would like to say that none of us will probably ever match the splendour of King Solomon, and even he didn't reach the beautifulness of the flowers. I tell my wife that I still find her attractive and would have married her even if she wore a black bin bag. Because God's not concerned about our look or what we wear. God knows we need clothing and he provides it. So why worry? Why do we toil to the pointless exhaustion of worry to be clothed in splendor? Now, as some of you know, I really do not like wearing smart clothes. I feel so uncomfortable. I would so much more be happier in joggers and flip-flops. But I never want to be in a place where clothes will stop me doing God's work. I never want to be in a place where clothes are stopping me sharing the gospel. Because in God's eyes, we shine like flowers, whatever we wear. Now you might be sitting there thinking, Michael, you know what? Clothes and food, I don't worry about them. I have bigger worries in my life. And yes, I appreciate that times have moved on. And the world is so much more complex. But in that complexity, have we not made things worse for ourselves? Have we not just created countless more ways to worry in life? Have we not found more ways to move further away from God? When it seems like the walls of our lives are falling apart, yes, it can be hard not to worry. But I learned something from my dad, actually. He, a few years ago, had prostate cancer. Probably, you know, one of the biggest killers of men. And I remember when I went to see him in hospital, he wasn't worried at all. Now, I'm my father's son, and yeah, we do worry. But he was not worried at all. And this is a guy who, for him, death is the end. He doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't know of an eternal life. So how for him, having cancer, not worry? And I think it really struck me about the fact that we have, as Christians, the capability to not worry. Because basically, God made it so. God made us. He knows that we have the capacity not to worry. It's up to us to make that choice not to worry. If a man who doesn't know Jesus does not worry in a serious situation, how then do we act as followers of God? Because if we believe that Jesus' death and resurrection is real. Oh, I'm missing a page, sorry. Apologies. If we choose not to worry about the things of our lives, and we choose to seek his kingdom first, Philippians 4 gives us a great starting point, I believe. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. For every worry and anxious thought that we have let overcome and engulf us, let's just release them to the Lord. Let's present them to God. Do we pray about every stressful and worrying situation? Do we ask the Holy Spirit on a daily basis to renew our minds so we can let the worries go? If we believe that Jesus' death and resurrection as real, if we believe that the Holy Spirit that resides in us as real, if we believe our salvation in heaven as real, then we need to ask ourselves, why do we choose to worry? Let's believe that the peace of God will guard our hearts as real. If by prayer and petition on a daily basis we ask for the peace of God, we can replace that worry that the world wants to fill our hearts with. By replacing worry with the peace of God, we are in a much better position to seek his kingdom first. We are better placed to accept that God has our needs, all our needs, looked after. Like the birds, God will feed us, and like the flowers, he will clothe us. We are in a better place to stand alongside Jesus and tell this world, do not worry, for your God has something much greater for you. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If he has sustained us in the past, he's sure going to sustain us in the future. And I finish with the point I made, that we have a choice with worry. We either live our lives holding on to that worry, or we choose to completely leave those worries at the foot of the cross. The choice is ours, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, worrying can be such a life-changing and stricken emotion. But Lord, we pray that you take that worry out of our hearts and you fill it with the peace. Lord, I pray that everyone here knows that they don't have to worry at all, because you fulfill and you give us every need that we have and need in this life. Lord, I pray that for all of us, that when we come up against something that makes us worry, we seek your kingdom first. That we have the courage to say to worry, no more. That we come and leave our worries at the foot of the cross. We ask this, Lord, in your glorious name. Amen. I was thinking over this week about how to respond to those words, do not worry. And I just felt it's really easy to talk about it, but let's do it. And as Connor leads us in our next song, it'd be really great. There's bits of paper on your chair. And yeah, it'd be great if there's a worry that's really challenging you, a worry that's stricken in you. It can be anything, big or small. Let's just present those worries, write them down, and we've got the cross over here, and yeah, just don't feel embarrassed, don't worry, there's no pressure, but if there's a worry, just come and write it down and put your paper at the foot of the cross, and as we leave tonight, that worry's there, right where it needs to be. We're going to leave it here, and we're going to go out there without that worry. Yes, do that. Connor, thank you.